All right, so today we're going deep on something pretty interesting, actually, in the world of making medicines and supplements.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat technology for sure.
You sent over some info on this thing called Hyperring.
Right.
It's from a company called Tradichem Industrial Services, TIS for short.
Yeah.
And our mission today is to really unpack what Hyperprayer is, how it works, and why it matters, especially for companies in the pharmaceutical and nutraceutical space.
Sounds good.
So we've got some background on TIS already.
Okay.
They got started in 2016 with the specific focus on what they call physical transformation services for the pharmaceutical industry. And they actually operate a pretty unique GMP site where they do all this blending and manufacturing of granular and high-density APIs.
Which stands for active pharmaceutical ingredients for anyone listening who might not know.
Right, the actual active ingredient in the medicine or the supplement.
Exactly.
And so at the heart of it all is this Hyperring technology, which is described as this proprietary granulation and compaction process that really aims to create this better link between API suppliers and the folks making the final tablets or capsules, what they call finished dosage forms or FDFs.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's all about creating this connection, making it easier and more efficient to take those raw materials and actually turn them into the final product that people use.
And you even mentioned some impressive numbers about how Hyperring can boost operational efficiency for those FDF manufacturers.
Yeah, they claim a pretty significant increase, something like 50 to 60%.
Wow.
And alongside that, a huge reduction in industrial costs, which is obviously a big deal for any manufacturer.
Absolutely. So, how does it actually work? How do they achieve those kinds of gains?
So Hyperring is really all about taking those raw APIs, the starting point, what they call the S form,
Okay.
and transforming it through this specific process, first into what they call hard plates or the R form,
Okay.
and then finally into regular granules, the F form.
So it's this step-by-step transformation.
Exactly. And each step is carefully designed to improve the physical properties of the material.
Interesting. So what are the actual steps involved in this transformation?
Well, there are five key steps.
Oh.
Deboration, which basically means getting rid of any air pockets.
Got it.
Then you have particle rearrangement, where you're getting those particles to fit together more tightly. Particle deformation, so actually changing the shape of the particles.
Okay.
And then particle fragmentation, where you might break them down into smaller pieces.
Interesting.
And finally, particle bonding, where those particles are encouraged to stick together.
So it's really a combination of rearranging, reshaping, and getting those particles to interact in a very specific way.
Right. It's all about optimizing those physical characteristics to make the material easier to handle and process down the line.
You mentioned some examples earlier, like coenzyme Q10 and tryptophan.
Yeah.
How do these steps actually play out with those specific materials?
Well, what's really fascinating is how these steps can lead to some pretty dramatic changes in the physical form of the API. And for instance, with the R form, what they call hard plates, you often end up with these ribbon-like structures for various APIs.
Ribbons.
Yeah, it's kind of like turning a powder into these thin, flat ribbons.
I see.
And that new shape has all sorts of benefits.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, those ribbons pack together much more efficiently than a loose powder.
Makes sense.
And they also flow more predictably, which is really important when you're trying to manufacture tablets or capsules on a large scale.
So it's all about making that downstream process smoother and more efficient. And
Exactly.
this isn't just happening in some random facility, right?
No, not at all.
TS has these clean rooms specifically designed and certified for this hyperranging technology,
Right.
which is obviously critical when you're talking about pharmaceutical.
Absolutely. They're operating under strict GMP standards, which ensure the quality and safety of the final product.
GMP being good manufacturing practices, just to clarify.
Yeah.
And their whole manufacturing system is described as closed and continuous, really emphasizing quality by design from the start.
That's right. It's all about minimizing the risk of contamination and ensuring consistency from batch to batch.
So let's talk more about the benefits of Hyperring.
Sure.
You already mentioned the efficiency gains and cost reductions, but what other advantages are we looking at here?
Well, for manufacturers, we're talking about some pretty impressive numbers.
Okay.
They're reporting a 40% reduction in operational costs
That's huge.
and even a 45% reduction in packaging size.
Wow.
Plus, the Hyperring process itself doesn't involve any solvents, reagents, excipients, or other chemicals, which
Really?
is a big win, both from a cost perspective and an environmental perspective.
So it's greener as well.
Exactly.
You also mentioned that Hyperring can actually improve the physical characteristics of the final tablets.
Right. It's not just about making things easier for the manufacturer. It's about creating a better product for the end user.
So what kinds of improvements are we talking about?
Well, for example, you get increased tablet hardness, so they're less likely to break or crumble.
Okay.
Reduced friability, which means they're more resistant to chipping and breaking down during handling.
Mm-hmm.
Better disintegration.
Right.
So they break down properly in the digestive system.
Right.
And more uniform dosage, which is obviously critical for ensuring that people get the right amount of medication.
So it's hitting all the key quality attributes for a tablet.
Exactly.
And then there's the whole thing about improving the rheologic properties of the raw materials themselves.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You were talking about things like compressibility index and flowability.
Right. Those are key factors in how well the powder behaves during manufacturing.
Okay.
And Hyper-NG can really improve those properties.
So, for example?
Well, they've got some real-world data showing some pretty remarkable improvements.
Okay.
For example, with pantoprazole, a common drug for heartburn and acid reflux, the compressibility index improved by 43%.
Wow.
And flowability jumped by a whopping 66%.
That's impressive. So what does that mean in practical terms?
Well, better flowability means the powder is less likely to clump together.
Okay.
It moved through the manufacturing equipment more smoothly.
Right.
It's easier to handle overall.
So fewer headaches for the manufacturer.
Exactly. And they're seeing similar improvements with other materials like rhamnus frangula, a natural laxative.
Okay.
They saw a 38% improvement in compressibility and a 68% boost in flowability.
Wow. Those are significant changes.
Yeah. And the technology also helps to create a more uniform particle size distribution.
Particle size distribution.
Yeah, you want those particles to be roughly the same size for optimal performance.
Oh, got it.
And that contributes to all those enhanced properties we were talking about.
So let's say a manufacturer wants to start using a Hyperion processed API.
Mm-hmm.
How easy is it for them to actually incorporate that into their existing processes and regulatory filings?
That's actually one of the really interesting things about Hyperion, because the process maintains the purity, the chemical properties, and the overall HPLC profile of the original API.
Which is basically like its fingerprint.
Exactly. It's still the same active ingredient, chemically speaking.
Okay.
But it's just been physically transformed to make it perform better.
So it's like giving it an upgrade.
Right. And that means it can be integrated into existing drug master files much more easily.
That sounds like it could save a lot of time and hassle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to regulatory approvals.
You also mentioned something about miniaturization.
Yeah, that's another potential benefit of Hyperion.
Okay.
Because you're increasing the density of the material.
Mm-hmm.
You can often achieve the same dosage in a smaller tablet or capsule.
So you're shrinking the pill.
Basically. And that has all sorts of advantages for patients.
Like what?
Well, smaller pills are easier to swallow, especially for people who have difficulty with larger tablets.
That makes sense.
And it can also potentially improve treatment adherence.
How so?
Well, if people find it easier to take their medication, they're more likely to stick to their prescribed regimen.
That's a good point.
And it also opens up possibilities for new types of formulations.
Okay.
Like slow-release versions where the medication is released gradually over time.
So Hyperion is kind of a win-win.
It has the potential to benefit both the industry and the patient.
And of course, Taiz has taken steps to protect this technology, right?
Oh, absolutely. They have a GMP compliance certificate from the Spanish Agency of Medicines and Medical Devices.
Okay.
And they hold several European patents covering specific applications of Hyperion.
Such as?
For example, they have a patent for improving the water solubility of melatonin.
Uh-huh.
Another one for creating high-density L-tryptophan and coenzyme Q10 with improved flow.
Mm.
A patent for a high-density form of quercetin.
Interesting.
And they actually just recently, in May 2024, applied for a patent for a granular serenoarepins extract.
So they're actively expanding the applications of this technology.
Exactly. It seems like they're constantly exploring new possibilities for Hyperion.
So it's a real commercially available technology with intellectual property protection and regulatory backing.
Right. It's not just some idea on paper. They're actually out there doing it.
And it sounds like they have a pretty broad reach as well.
Yeah. They're serving markets across the Americas, Europe, and Asia.
Wow.
And they have a robust pipeline of applications in both pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals.
Meaning?
They have a whole bunch of ingredients that they've already processed with Hyperion that they're currently developing.
So it's a pretty exciting time for them.
It seems like they're really gaining traction in the industry.
So to sum it all up, this deep dive into Hyperion has really revealed a technology that's laser focused on making the production of medicines and supplements more efficient, more cost effective, and just better overall.
Yeah. It's all about streamlining that manufacturing process and ultimately delivering a better product to the consumer.
And what really stands out to me is this focus on physical transformation without altering the core chemistry of the active ingredients.
Right. It's like you said earlier, it's about giving those ingredients an upgrade.
Exactly. And that has some pretty significant implications for simplifying regulatory pathways and speeding up the adoption of these improved materials.
Absolutely. And the concrete examples of enhanced flowability and compressibility, those are real tangible advantages that manufacturers can appreciate.
It really makes you wonder how a technology like this might influence the development of even more patient-friendly dosage forms in the future.
Yeah, like could we see even smaller pills or even more sophisticated slow-release formulations thanks to hypering?
It's definitely something to ponder, and it also raises questions about the broader impact of this kind of technology on the sustainability of the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. Could this help to minimize waste and maximize efficiency on a larger scale?
It's certainly a possibility. Definitely something worth exploring further.
Agreed.
Well, thanks for diving deep with me on this one.
My pleasure.
It's been an enlightening conversation.
Likewise.
And for our listeners out there, we encourage you to keep thinking about the implications of these kinds of innovations in the pharmaceutical and nutraceutical space.
It's a rapidly evolving field, and there are sure to be even more exciting developments on the horizon.
So stay tuned.
Definitely.
All right, that's a wrap for today's deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time.